Man, I am excited. I'm like out of breath from worship this morning. How awesome is it that we get to come in here and worship a risen Savior, right? We've said it all morning, but He is risen. Do we mean it? Do we mean it? He is risen. I am so excited to be able to be here. My question is, as we celebrate, and we know that this day is a day that we celebrate, and it's exciting, and it's fun, and we get to get dressed up, and we get to have really good breakfast, and for some of us, we just got to wake up the same time we do every other day, just a day earlier. But some of us woke up really early to get here and cook, and man, and we take all the celebration and all the fun that comes into it. But I'm here to tell you what I am going to tell you this morning is no different than I'm going to tell you every day of my life, in that we serve a God that loves us and loves us to the point that He sent His Son to die for us. And today is just a day that we make sure that we keep that celebration going, right? So it is very much as important that that when you leave this building, that whenever you leave, I know I'm supposed to do this at the end, right? I know I'm supposed to do this at the end, but no, when we leave here, when we go to our jobs tomorrow, when we come back to worship next week, when our ladies are at the Women of Joy Conference, when we're at work and we're struggling, remember the joy that you had this morning when you woke up and you remembered that Christ is risen. There is nothing greater in the history of not just this world, but of all time, to celebrate than Jesus giving His life to pay the fullness of sin for us. The only way, Darren, that I can absolutely try to top worship this morning is to do what I'm going to do right here and say there's somebody greater than me that wrote down some words through a man by the name of Luke. And whenever he wrote down these words, it was greater than anything that we could ever do, any praises that we can, because he was sharing God's love for us. So if you guys want to open up Luke chapter 24, open your Bibles up there. And let me just tell you, am I still going to have my chance to do forever here, Caleb, in a little while? Is that afterwards? Yeah, okay. So I'm going to read the first part of this chapter a little bit later, but we're going to get into it. Let me tell you a little backstory of what's going on. And for some people here, this may be the first time that you ever hear this. It may be the 100th time that you've heard this. You may read this every day of your life. You may have these verses memorized or these stories memorized, but it does not take away from the importance. See, every now and then, if we get into our jobs and you get into something that's very monotonous, all of a sudden you start just doing the same thing over and over again, and you kind of lose the meaning behind it, right? If your job at your work is to shovel gravel, every single shovel just becomes just another shovel, and you forget how many you shoveled in. Let me tell you and warn you, please do not take the gospel in that same manner. Don't take it as just another thing that we do and keep on going by. Take each word and know that God breathed out every single word in this book, because He loved you and He cared for you and He wanted you to know the path to the Savior. So we have the situation come up, and we know that Jesus was crucified, that He freely climbed up, and I say freely climbed up on that cross because He was the God of all creation. He is the Son of God. He freely allowed Himself to be placed on that cross, and He gave up His life for us. His earthly body was killed, placed in these cloths and placed into a tomb. A big, large stone was rolled in front of that tomb, and the people began to mourn. They thought that all that they had hoped for was over. And they rested, I'm sure sitting there talking amongst themselves in tears and worry and fear. They rested. And the next morning when they woke up, when they went to the tomb to possibly take care of the body, to prepare with the spices the body, to see someone that they loved lying there, they were greeted by something great, and that was an empty tomb. And the celebration that should come from that. However, sometimes we get in this point where we know the good news and we just, oh man, I know. Anybody ever done this? Somebody calls you up and you're really, really sad and they're like, man, God's got you. He's got you taken care of. And you're like, yeah, I know. Yeah. We've all been there before, right? And you guys say, well, doesn't sound like a sermon that should be exciting, and it sounds like you're getting in this gloomy phase. Well, let me tell you, starting in verse 13, Luke chapter 24, it says, now the same day, two of them were on their way to the village called Emmaus, which was about 7 miles from Jerusalem. Together, they were discussing everything that had taken place. And while they were discussing and arguing, Jesus himself came near and began to walk along with them. But they were prevented from recognizing him. Then he asked them, what is this dispute that you're having with each other as you are walking? And they stopped walking and looked discouraged. The one named Cleopas answered him, are you the only visitor in Jerusalem who doesn't know the things that happened there in these days? What things, he asked them. So they said to him, the things concerning Jesus of Nazareth, who was a prophet, powerful in action and speech before God and all the people, and how our chief priests and leaders handed him over to be sentenced to death, and they crucified him. But we were hoping that he was the one who was about to redeem Israel. Besides all this, it's the third day since these things happened. Moreover, some women from our group astounded us. They arrived early at the tomb, and when they didn't find his body, they came and reported that they had seen a vision of angels who said he was alive. Some of those who were with us went to the tomb and found it just as the women had said, but they didn't see him. He said to them, this is Jesus speaking, how foolish you are, and slow to believe all the prophets have spoken. Wasn't it necessary for the Messiah to suffer these things and enter into his own glory? Then beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he interpreted for them the things concerning himself in all the scriptures. They came near the village where they were going, and he gave the impression that he was going farther. But they urged him, stay with us, because it's almost evening and now the day is almost over. So he went in to stay with them. It was as he reclined at the table with them that he took the bread, blessed, and broke it, and gave it to them. Then their eyes were opened and they recognized him, but he disappeared from their sight. They said to each other, weren't our hearts burning within us while he was talking with us on the road and explaining the scriptures to us? That very hour they got up and returned to Jerusalem. They found the 11 and those with them gathered together, who said, the Lord has truly been raised and has appeared to Simon. Then they began to describe what had happened on the road and how he was made known to them in the breaking of the bread. Let's pray. Lord God, I thank you for this day. I thank you for your word. Lord, I thank you for revealing to us now through your Holy Spirit that you are still with us. And I ask as we go through your word today that you bless us with the knowledge, with the excitement that you, your son, is risen. Lord, I thank you for all that you do. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. So man, you would think that if you got into a situation where you've been walking and you know everything about the Old Testament, these two gentlemen that are here, they know everything about the Old Testament. They know so much as we know because they have been following along in some way with Jesus. As a matter of fact, as we read here and we read about Cleopas, we know that Luke mentions him by name. So by mentioning him by name, he probably has a relationship with him. And if he has a relationship with him, then they have had discussion. And we hear in the Bible here in these verses that they are discussing constantly what just happened. But I imagine even though they have sat down and heard Jesus directly speak, they know the old scriptures, they know that he was going to pass, their walk looked a little like this. What do we do now? And he said that he was going to take care of us. I thought we were going to have a great king. I thought we were going to take over rule. I thought that we weren't going to have to worry about those Romans anymore. I thought we were going to just have everything so much better. And yet we don't set, in the same way they don't set, our goals high enough, our knowledge of Christ high enough. This is not our home. One more time, because I need you guys to realize this, because too many of us are taking this world and placing it as our home. We put more into all of the things to be able to build up this world. We put those at the forefront of our lives, right? We put those things out there. Let me say this one more time. This, where we're at, is not our home. This is the place that we currently reside, seeking to find our way home. You know, even in the greatest times in my life that I can remember, I love going on vacation, right? And I love going on vacation, especially to like somewhere like the beach, or I really don't like the sand, but I like the pool. But one of my favorite things about the beach is that I can leave my cell phone up in the room because I don't want to get sand all in it, right? And I don't want to get it wet. So I can leave my cell phone in the room and I can relax and not talk to anybody until I get back in the room. And I love that, and I love that rest, and I love that time to be able to just relax with my family, to have a good time, to kick back, and to let everything just float away. However, by the end of my vacation, every single time that I get there, I am just ready and eager to get back to the house. In the midst of all of the rest and all of the beach and the sun and the fun and the seafood and the hanging out with my family and the no phone calls and the no work and the awesomeness that is, that's not my home. It's not my home. It's not where I'm supposed to be. That's not the place that I brought my children the first day when they came out of the hospital. That is not the place that I lay my head down at night and beside my beautiful wife. That is not the place that I have put all this effort into building up. It isn't. It's just a room that I rented and a place that I was for a period of time to give a purpose. And that purpose at that time was to give me rest, but that rest ends up looking like work because it's not where I'm supposed to be. As Christians, this is not where we are supposed to be. Stop worrying about who the rulers are. Stop worrying about who's in charge. Worry about who is the Lord of your life, not the Lord of this country. Worry about who holds your eternity, not holds your 9-to-5. Worry about who holds you, not how you have to hold up. God loves us, and he makes it known that this is not the place we are supposed to be. He goes in a little farther with these gentlemen as they're walking down and they're headed. It says that they're about 7 miles outside of Jerusalem. So as they're walking, they've been walking for some time. I imagine that some of us, if we're walking, you know, and the more that we discuss our walks instead of walking like this, because I know Chad and I, we walk at work sometimes, not a whole lot, but when we walk and we talk, we don't want to be out of breath, right? And if we walk too fast, Chad, I mean, if we're like this, we might be out of breath. So as we're walking, we're taking our time. And if it's something in depth, we may stop for a minute and say, hey, haven't you seen this? So this 7 miles is a long trip home. It's a long trip away from wherever they were going. And it says, they were discussing everything that had taken place. And while they were discussing and arguing, Jesus himself came near and began to walk with them. But they were prevented from recognizing him. Then he asked them, what is this dispute that you're having with each other as you were walking? And they stopped walking and looked discouraged. I'm sure their discussion came back and forth of, man, I saw him do all those great things. I know he was a prophet. Man, did you see him heal that guy? Yeah, I really thought this was the one. I've seen so many great things. I really thought this was it. And they look so discouraged because what they thought was going to bring them out of this despair that they had, that all they could see was the death. They couldn't go back and say, well, God's word says that he pulls us out of death through his son, Jesus Christ. That death is defeated through Jesus. They don't see that. All they see is the day and the road that lies ahead of them. And Jesus comes up in the same way that the Holy Spirit comes to us in the times that we're contemplating, the time that we're worrying, the time that we're scared. And he speaks to us. And sometimes they, over and over and over, the Holy Spirit says, you need to do this. You need to worry less. You need to be with me, and we just don't recognize him. They didn't recognize Jesus standing there for whatever reason. Maybe it was his resurrected body. Maybe it was the fact that he held from them. Whatever that reason was, it says they were prevented from recognizing him. So I believe that he came to them and wanting to speak to them. And he was unknown. It says, the one named Cleopas answered him, are you the only visitor in Jerusalem who doesn't know the thing that happened there in these days? See, everybody thought that maybe if since the body was stolen, you know, maybe we can just hide it off as like some conspiracy theory. Maybe it won't be such a big deal. Everybody will forget about it, that Jesus is gone. But these two gentlemen say, haven't you heard about everything that was going on? Didn't you hear specifically about Jesus dying on that cross? Didn't you hear about it? Everybody's talking about it. This was a huge situation. This is something that the priests couldn't hide under the rug, that the Roman soldiers weren't hiding. Nobody was hiding. They were talking about it. They were discussing it. And yet they didn't fully understand it. We can talk and discuss church and the things of the Bible all the time, but the question is, do we understand it? Do we see it? Do we realize it? Do we live it? Do we love it? And at this point, they were confused. They were lost. They may have even been saying, well, he was good, but when does the Messiah come? We just thought that was it. And Jesus says, as though he didn't know, you know, what things? He asked them. So they said to him, the things concerning Jesus of Nazareth, who was a prophet, powerful in action and speech before God and all the people, and how our chief priests had leaders handed him over to be sentenced by death. See, they get a little lost here. They considered him just a prophet, and even though he was prophesying, he was God. And he was standing there. They didn't have the fullness, and they also didn't understand that it wasn't just these priests. These priests were the tools to get the job done, but they weren't the reason for the death. Let me say that again. They were the tools used to bring forth the death. They were not the reason for it. You want to know who was the reason for it? Go look in the mirror. It's you and me. It was our sin. It was my sin that was paid for. It was us that he freely gave his life for. It was his love for us that he freely climbed up on that cross. It was his love for Cleopas and his buddy here that he was up on that cross. And yet they say, oh, it was because of the priest, and it was because of them that they handed him over to the Roman soldiers. You know, they didn't even go to the point of saying that it was the Roman soldiers that killed him. They didn't say that it was that anybody else driving the nails in his hands killed him. They said it was the priest that handed him over, but they failed to recognize, we failed to recognize, that sometimes the things in our life that bring us down is the sin that we place into this world. We want to give excuses for everything else, but sometimes we need to sit back and look and realize we're the reason. And they go on to say, but here it is the third day. And then they get into a weird discussion here. Because even though now they're saying it was the third day and they were expecting him to be resurrected, they were expecting something to happen, it wasn't enough. Even though we know that Peter comes back and we know that these ladies, that Mary had been there, that and these ladies had been there, that we know that the tomb was open. They claim that angels had spoken to them, and yet they're still gloomy because they don't fully understand it. They don't fully recognize it. It's like saying, hey, tomorrow when you get to work, I brought in some new coffee. I'm going to make a pot of coffee when you come in there tomorrow. And you come into work and you're looking around and you see everybody talk about the pot of coffee, and you look around for it and you try to find it, but all you can find is an empty pot, and everybody talks about it and they say, hey, we've got this coffee over here and it was great and it was good, and they brought it in. You say, it must have never happened. It must have never happened, even though everybody said it and we knew beforehand that it was going to happen. How much more is it that God said, I am not going to be there. This earth is not my home. I am going to my home. Death cannot hold me. I will die, but I will see you again. And they saw him, but the tomb was empty. And that's why we're so upset that he didn't bust out of that tomb. Like, I think they were expecting some sort of, we were joking around the other day, but I think they were really expecting like a Judy chop to the stone, right? And it just like blows out of the way and he comes out, you know, he's made out some headgear and he looks like some huge warrior, and all of a sudden, instead of being beaten and everything, he's got like these gnarly scars and these huge muscles, and he's walking in, he's like, let's go take these guys out, you know, like some Rambo movie. That's what they're expecting. I thought he was going to bust out of that tomb and we were going to go take somebody out. I thought we were going to fight. We were ready. And you see Peter cut the ear off that guy. He was ready to fight. Aren't we ready to go? Aren't we ready to battle? And all we have is an empty tomb and some cloths laying there. We have the burial cloth laying there. What do we have? They go on. He said to them, how foolish are you and slow to believe all that the prophets have spoken? Wasn't it necessary for the Messiah to suffer these things and enter into his glory? Wasn't it necessary for me to drink the sin cup for you? Wasn't it necessary for me to suffer for you? Wasn't it necessary in order to be here and to give you grace to enter into my glory? Wasn't it necessary that these happen? Haven't you been reading that ever since Moses started speaking until today? Haven't you been told that? Haven't you read that from the beginning of Genesis to you guys? Haven't you read that from Genesis all the way through now to Luke chapter 24, that every page of this Bible speaks of Jesus and how much he loves us and how much God cares for us? Isn't it evident? Didn't you know? It says as they came near the village, that they were going, and he gave the impression that they was going farther, but they urged him. And when this word urged comes in, it was, this word is very strong. If you go back to the Greek, it was not just urged, it was almost to the point of force. They were very much in the middle of this conversation with Jesus as he was explaining all of the scriptures to them. As he was going back through, do you remember when Moses said this? Do you remember when this was done? Do you remember when this happened? Every single he was talking about, do you remember that? You remember when your parents taught you that? Do you remember when you were learning that? Do you remember when we discussed that? Do you remember when the disciples talked about that? Do you remember each and every part of that? And it says that they were discussing it, and when they came to the place, to their home, they were not ready to go. They were still in the middle of this conversation, and Jesus gives the impression that he's going to leave, and they almost go to the point of forcing him and urging him to stay the night. We have more questions. Stay with us because it's almost evening and now the day is almost over. So he went to stay with them. It was as he reclined at the table with them that he took the bread and blessed and broke it and gave it to them. Let me tell you, this is not common. Everybody just thinks this is a common situation right here, but this is like me coming to your home. If somebody invited me to come to your home this afternoon to have some lunch, and I walked in and I just took and I just started making y'all a plate and said, here you go, I'm going to serve you in your own home. This was not common. It was common for the host to break the bread, for the host to serve his guests. And yet in the middle of their conversation, Jesus was teaching to the point in their own homes, they realized that Jesus had become the host of the situation. Jesus was controlling the conversation in their own homes. My question is, when we go to our homes, when we go to our houses, when we go to our jobs, when we go to the places we reside, when we go to the places that we are supposed to be of this world, is Jesus hosting us in those situations? Is he leading us in our decisions? Is he guiding us through those situations to the point that it's not ours anymore, but it's his? Do we give him all of our problems? Do we give him all of our excitement? Do we give him all of our failures? Do we give him all of our goals? Do we give him all of our successes? Do we give him everything to the point that we realize it's because of him that we are where we are, and our goal is to glorify and love him, not ourselves? To the point where this life is no longer about us hosting him, but him hosting us. Him using and speaking and talking and working through us, and us just willing to soak it all in. And as they break this bread, and as we took communion earlier this morning, it was just remarkably clear. Says that then their eyes were opened and they recognized him, but he disappeared from their sight. They said to each other, weren't our hearts burning in us while he was talking with us on the road and explaining the scriptures to us? Wasn't our hearts burning? Man, is there any greater way to talk about how important it is to hear the gospel, to hear God's word, and how changing it is? As they were walking, they said their hearts were literally felt like they were burning within them as Jesus spoke to them. One of the things that we said whenever we started talking about Fireside and planting Fireside and growing, that we wanted to be with that name, that we wanted that idea of fire, that idea of community, that idea of burning in our community and growing in our community and consuming our community with the knowledge and love of Jesus Christ. And that knowledge and love, said, was burning inside of them. Didn't we realize it? How were we so blind? How did we let the earth take away, the things of this earth take away our joy and get us to the point where we didn't even understand what God has been telling us all along? We didn't even understand for us now what the Holy Spirit has been leading us into all along. Some of us sit here today, and as we read these words, as we sing these songs, as we celebrate a risen Savior, our hearts are burning, and we're taking more time trying to quench the fire than we are in trying to fuel it and allowing God to fuel it in our lives and allowing it to consume us. Allow that burning in our hearts to consume us. Allow it to grow. Seek it out. Cool thing is though, even though we know it's not time here because they have sat down, reclined at the table, they have had their feast, and we said they were 7 miles outside of Jerusalem, right? The news was so great that they had that they didn't go and finish their meal. They didn't run over and say, it's time for bed. I'm wore out. I'm going to go talk about this tomorrow. No, the scripture tells us that they immediately got up and ran and found the other 11, found the 11 disciples and told them what they had just done, and Jesus then appeared to them. So that 7 miles back to proclaim the gospel, you think it was a little quicker than the 7 miles back home? It absolutely was. Because the 7 miles going back to proclaim the gospel is where they were supposed to be. That is what their goal was. That was their purpose, not the doom and gloom walking back to their homes. So as we go back to our homes, is our path leaving this building? Is our path going out to our workplaces, to the place that we're going to have lunch, to our dinners tonight, to our family, to our job tomorrow, in worship next week? In the Women of Joy, is it going to be the type of going out where we just say, hey, yeah, we heard something good. Yeah, there's a lot of good gospel going on. Yeah, Jesus said that one time. I mean, I don't see it. But somebody must see it. You know, I saw it one time. That song was real good, so I felt really good about it. I was kind of shouting, but man, I'm at work, so this is terrible. Or are we going there knowing that we have the good news? Are we going knowing and proclaiming that He is risen? Are we going with excitement? Is the most inner parts of who we are burning with the gospel? Do we know that Jesus died for us? As we pray, and we've got this last song, we've got plenty of people here that would love to pray with you. If you need to pray, feel free to come up. There's places that you can pray here. Pray at your seat. You know, whatever you need, come grab one of us and say, hey, I just want to talk for a second. Just come and seek out the good news. And I'm here to tell you that I am going to be excited to proclaim it to you this morning. Let's pray. Lord God, I thank you for this day. I thank you that we have a risen Savior. I thank you that we have an empty tomb. Lord, I'm thankful that we have the gospel to be able to share. I'm thankful that this is not our home, but Lord, that you have made a place for us beside you in your presence that is where we are supposed to be. And Lord, allow this time that we are here, this time that we are struggling, the time that we are in this world to be a time that we bring glory to your name, that we bring knowledge of you to the people around us, Lord. And I just ask that you speak through us, that you walk through us, that you live through us, Lord, that you allow us to share the gospel, to share the good news, that we don't just celebrate one day a year, but that we celebrate each and every breath that we have. And we use that breath to proclaim your name. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.